Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Rebel Rouse and Richard Bergeron.
And this is the Tornado, Tony Pennycow.
And we got a little mini show for you tonight. We're going to try to do it in an hour or less here. We don't have a guest tonight. I did not book one because I've been working my keister off, so.
What did you want to do that for? That's no fun.
Yes. I've been selling a lot of firewood. People,
well, that's good. I mean, winter's coming up, right?
Gearing up for winter, yes.
It's got to be warm, especially up in your area.
As they like to say on the show Game of Thrones, winter is coming.
Yeah, very true.
Don't worry about that. But, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got a couple interesting stories right off the bat I wanted to bring up. There's a big mixed martial arts promoter in trouble with the tax man out there.
Uh-oh.
That's a pretty big story. Monty Cox pleads guilty to a federal tax charge. Faces 3 years in prison. Big story this week. Just broke pretty much yesterday. Fedor Emelianenko's first opponent's been revealed for his New Year's fight, and let's just say it's pretty underwhelming. We've got plenty to talk about. I'm sure Tom is waiting once we connect him. Yeah, let's talk about, what do we got in the boxing world? What's going on there? I haven't watched much boxing at all.
Yeah, we had some, you know, pretty decent fights last week. You know, we had a card on HBO and a card on Showtime. The Adrian Broner fight was what it was expected to be. You know, the opponent they brought in for him, guy, tough guy, but just did not have the type of pedigree, didn't have the speed to keep up with Broner. And, you know, so Broner just, you know, pretty much did what he wanted to do, and they, like, you know, the doctor was saying, you know, like, okay, we're not going to let this go on much longer. And then before the 12th round, you know, the referee and the doctor were both looking at him, and the doctor says, one more solid punch, stop it. And, like, just like that. So Broner called him a combination, 12th round, sees he landed the punch, it might have even been like a jab. The referee stopped the fight. And, you know, Broner, you know, typical trash talk. You know, going to do better, bigger and better things. His promotion now, I think it's called AB, like almost billion or about billions or something like that. The better fight, which was an upset, occurred on the other card, which I believe that was the HBO card, and that was the fight by the name of Victor Postol.
Yeah.
And, he had a very impressive stoppage over Lucas Matisse. And it was, fight was relatively close early. And Postol started, to take control. And it was boxing Matisse. He was taking control of the fight was going on. And then finally, 10th round, he caught him with a right hand. And Matisse went down, and blood was just pouring out of his nose. And he didn't beat the count. He just took the whole 10 count on his knees. And I was talking to a colleague of mine, and a couple days later, we were talking about the fight. And I said, I think he broke his nose that shot. He goes, no. He goes, I read a report that he actually fractured his orbital bone and pretty much ended it right on the spot.
Yeah. That's not fun. And actually, I heard a story, I read a story about him showing some interest in going over to MMA even before this fight result came out. So,
is that Matisse?
Matisse, yeah. He surprised actually his own handlers when they went and they went to an event, and somebody asked him about if he was ever interested, and he said, "Yeah, I plan to do it after I retire from boxing." So, thought that was kind of interesting.
Later then.
Yeah. So maybe he was thinking too much about it before this fight. Pretty crazy stuff. There. Now, I don't know if I've talked about this story on the air before. But there is a story circulating about, I believe it's Steven Seagal. He's the one that's always making the rounds for, you know, supposedly being behind a fighter, certain strategy for a fight or something, you know, and everybody may, oh, yeah, it was all Steven Seagal, you know, because he showed up for camp for 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
It's the story of Steven Seagal and Ronda Rousey's buddy, Judo Jean LaBelle, where supposedly, you know, Judo Jean LaBelle is an older guy, you know, but he's been around. You know, he knows a lot of stuff about self-defense, grappling, and jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu especially. So apparently the story goes that, Steven Seagal was challenged by Judo Jean and said that Judo Jean said, you know, I bet I could choke you out. And basically Steven Seagal laughed him off and was like, whatever. And next thing you know, he's choked out on the floor and he actually shit himself, as the story goes.
Oh, man.
Steven Seagal shit himself during a choke.
Damn.
So, just this week, this is one of our bizarre stories of the week. True story, art imitating life. So life imitating art. I don't know. Reality striking twice, I guess. Lightning striking twice. A better description. There was actually a kid in a fight, a heavyweight fighter who got choked out and literally shit himself in the ring, in the cage. So, Steven Seagal doesn't have to feel like the only one anymore. This was in the UK, I believe. It might have been the United States, but this was in a UK paper, the Mirror over there. And it's all on video, of course, too. I have not watched the video. Not a big fan of...
You didn't watch the video of a guy crap all over himself? How dare you?
I have heard it's pretty shitty, though.
No, no pun intended.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy story. Still trying to connect with Tom here. My computer's being slow as usual.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
What else can we talk about this week? We've got a big fight coming up with David Lemieux and...
Yeah, I'm going to see. We're fighting at some time. That fight's next weekend. We're fighting at some time next week. We have some few things going on at work this week. And then plus I'm helping with this fundraiser. I'd like to see if they can write a preview on that one. Maybe I might try to do that maybe Monday or Tuesday night when I'm not too busy. I think it's going to be an excellent fight. I think it's going to be a slugfest for as long as it lasts. If I don't get to write a preview on this one, I will at least do an in-depth, verbal preview on the air next week. But I like to do a written preview when I can, just because that way I get it into people's hands and people get a chance to, you know, look at it, kind of compare and contrast what I have to say, and it holds me accountable because once you post some things online, they're there. I remember a couple of years ago, and this I'm going back to a fight almost 10 years ago now between Miguel Cotto and Zab Judo, right shortly after I started doing work for Fight News Unlimited. And somebody found that article a couple of years after the fight and said, damn, this guy was pretty spot on. It seems like he went into the future, watched the fight, and wrote the preview afterwards. So that was a nice compliment for me, and I felt good about myself. But before I pat myself on the back too much, I'm also the guy that picked Oscar De La Hoya to destroy Manny Pacquiao.
Right. Now is what Manny Pacquiao is talking about retirement in 2016. I just read the headline the other day. Apparently he wants to get into politics hardcore now, so... So, time is running out for the chance, if you would ever even want to see it again, to like come out of retirement.
I think the chance is over, you know. I think the chance is over on that.
The ship,
we're not going to see it.
The ship has sailed. Okay, I don't know what's up with Tom tonight. We're trying to get connected again to Blog Talk Radio here. Everything's taking forever. None of my links seem to be working. Come on. Okay. There's a pretty interesting story. Now, we've had a discussion about this before with the fighter who was actually charged with attempted murder, or was almost charged with attempted murder, for defending his home. There's a guy, his first night in his new home in Wisconsin, of all places, Milwaukee. So some guy picked the wrong house to break into because this guy was a mixed martial artist. He says, I turned around and it was right there, right here. He had blue latex gloves on. I said, what are you doing here? And he didn't say anything. He just had crazy eyes and just came after him. So he says, he came head first like this and he came through. I dug my arm underneath and put my hand through. Basically, within 5 to 6 seconds of a tight choke like that, you're going to pass out. So the guy passes out, drags him by the jacket to the front porch, takes a picture of him passed out on the front porch while the police get there. He says, I did beat him pretty good, but I beat him with mercy. I just wanted to make sure he wasn't going to do what he did here and he'd never come back. I guarantee he'll never come back. So now the suspect is now charged with felony burglary. He did get lucky, I guess, because if he had a gun instead of his hands, this guy might...
Very true. Very true. And you know what? I'm all for things like this. You know, whether the person's coming in your house and you do have to use lethal force, you know, they're the ones that are coming in there with, and maybe in their mind, they're not there to do anything, you know, life-threatening. But, sorry, you know, you're in there and you don't have business to be in there. That person does not know what your intentions are, if you're there to rape, murder, you know, assault, anything like that. So you're in your own house. You have the right to defend yourself. And the person's lucky you didn't use lethal force, but at the same time, and lethal force can be also done with the hands. You know, get a guy in a chokehold like that, you choke him out, you strangle him, you cut off, you know, the blood flow and the oxygen, and they pass away. Same thing as being shot, really, maybe even worse than being shot.
Right.
Or break their neck or anything like that. So maybe hopefully that'll be a lesson for the future.
Not
Jay.
Not surprisingly in this scenario. Police said they also found a crack pipe on the suspect.
No, I don't believe it.
So when his friends ask him why he took on a mixed martial artist, and they say, what, were you smoking crack?
why, matter of fact, yes, I was. Why do you ask?
So, we had a big UFC fight over the weekend. That was the main event with Roy Nelson and Josh Barnett, former Japan wrestling guy. And it was a pretty interesting card. I didn't really get too many thrills out of that final fight. It was kind of like a zombie slash Rock'em Sock'em Robots fight. But... yeah, there were some entertaining points. Just watching Roy Nelson try to throw kicks was kind of funny sometimes.
Well, yeah, I see that being humorous.
And we also had our former guest on the show, Sean Jordan, had a setback. He lost a decision. I don't think he threw enough kicks this time, actually. Mr. Flexible. Talking about doing all those stretches and stuff to learn how to do those kicks. And for some reason, it didn't seem like he was using them at all for this fight. I don't know whether he was injured coming in, or maybe he just couldn't get the regular extension on him, or what happened there? But yeah, he had a really tough fight. I don't have all the results right in front of me, but we'll get to that one later. We also have another upcoming big weekend for combat sports. A lot of mixed martial arts stuff going on this weekend. I think we've got a big Bellator card. We've got another UFC card coming up. Lots of stuff. We're still waiting on this crap to load. I don't know what is up with my connection tonight. It's not even raining yet.
Not even raining yet? Is it like it's going to?
Yeah, it's going to rain all day tomorrow up here.
Oh, good.
I don't know about where you're living.
No, I think it's looking nice, but...
We also had a big fight card last night, actually. Julius Jackson versus Jose Uzcategui. Not last night, but Tuesday night. And Jose, he was 24-1 with 20 KOs, defeated the undefeated Julius Jackson. Gave him his first loss there.
Yes, he did. He had him down, what, three times in two rounds, or four times?
45 into the second round, he was the last.
Yeah. I mean, he blasted him pretty good.
Three times in the round, he put him down. Arguinis Mendez, I did watch actually a little of this fight. I was just kind of watching it out of the corner of my eye because I was working on resumes while this was on. And Arguinis Mendez looked pretty decent. It was kind of a very technical battle, but he won by a pretty wide margin on two of the scorecards. Over Miguel Vasquez, he improves to 23-3-1 with 12 knockouts, and Vasquez falls to 35-5 with 13 knockouts. And now the next edition of Toe to Toe Tuesdays is October 13th, lucky 13. Gerald Washington, another undefeated fighter, 16-0 with 11 KOs, takes on Amir Mansour, who's 22-1 with 16 knockouts.
And Amir coming off that win over Joey DeWaco, where he boxed better than was expected. Amir is known as a devastating Ernie Shavers like puncher, and he looks like Ernie Shavers, a southpaw Ernie Shavers. But he boxed with DeWaco a little bit and won a decision. But you can never, get comfortable for a second in there with him just because he's a guy that, with one punch, he can deposit you up on Mars.
Hmm.
There's a Matt Damon up there.
Yeah, there's water up there.
I have heard.
Tom knows all about Mars.
All right. Finally, we get going here. Yeah, I heard Monty Cox. Didn't take advantage of my ability in guiding people out of problems there. I wish he'd have called me. I hate to read that. Ugh. And that was enough money that he'll definitely do some time on that one.
It's facing up to 3 years. So I'm still waiting for the story to load, but we're going to get to that one. That's a big deal. I mean, Monty Cox represented a lot of guys coming up through Iowa. Still represents a lot of fighters in the UFC. So he's a very solid figure in the industry. To have him having tax troubles, kind of.
Yeah, and normally in situations like that, if you get caught up and pay the fines, you're okay, but something strange about this one. I guess I don't know if he went to court on it, or I think it said he pled guilty, but, well, we'll find out more.
Yeah, he pled guilty to federal tax charge, according to the headline here. We'll get to it. As I said, Fedor got his first opponent. That's another story we're trying to get to load here. How about those UFC fights over the weekend? Did you get a chance to see those, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had said there's going to be one of the underdogs, and I think it was for the, a few reasons in that Bader fight. There's the talk of Rashad looking like an old generation type fighter no evolution. The fact that he'd had 2 years off and he said coaching was keeping him sharp, but everyone knows it's a whole different thing from coaching someone and actually getting in there and getting slammed and punched and kicked and, you know, who knows what else. But I still say that he was so sure that this was going to be an easy fight that he was looking beyond Bader, and I think that doomed him every bit as much as those other reasons. I mean, it didn't even seem like he could make a case for winning a round, and if you've seen what he looked like at the end of it. And the main event, I think, again, was close, but I don't think it was quite the same degree of close as the Jones fight for Gus.
Right.
I don't know how you've seen it, but that's my take on it. But again, it was just a tough loss. I mean, it was brought up that Gus is, in his last four fights, he's 1 win and 3 defeats, but that's a stacked division, that 205 division. And then my our former guest, Sean, I think that maybe, you know, at his weight and size, he's got to be one of the strongest guys at that division, without a doubt. So maybe, you know, maybe 10 pounds off and working on a little more speed and, you know, maybe. I mean, but I'm sure, you know, he's a smart guy. I'm sure he's going to reevaluate things. And
strength, he didn't use a lot of his kick. I mentioned that earlier. I don't know why he wasn't doing them. It just seemed like either the style-wise wasn't working for him or he had injured something. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that definitely could have been too. Well, I mean, hopefully we'll find out more. And then, you know, there was a thing about the aftermath, and they were showing some of the fighters afterwards. And, Jessica, I had it. You know, I know people say things after a fight that they come up short and they're very discouraged, but she was kind of hinting that she's going to be reevaluating her whole life. So maybe she's deciding to do something else.
Yeah. So Monty Cox, I got the story in front of me. He pled guilty to filing a false tax return. Admitted to underreporting his income over a 4-year period. And this is kind of funny. He had a significant amount of checks from his MMA-related ventures between 2007 and 2010, the amount of which significantly exceeded his reported income for those years. In all, he underreported his earnings by $1.1 million, which amounted to $370,000 in tax loss for the government. So he's going to be sentenced on February 24th. He could have a maximum fine of $100,000 and 3 years in federal prison.
That's just a mess, because a lot of times you can swear to get caught up and make installment payments, but when it gets into seven figures, that's definitely a problem.
Well, also when you're avoiding the tax altogether, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been following this story about FanDuel and DraftKings, but I guess he could have just went and worked for DraftKings and then played some FanDuel. Got that $370,000 in government real quick. There was a guy from DraftKings. He's like at the higher end of the company, right? He starts looking at the successful lineups every week. So he gets one of the guys that always wins on DraftKings, and he puts his lineup on FanDuel and wins like $300,000-something. Now they're under investigation.
Well, you know, it almost seems to me that like there's been a bubble in that market, and bubbles tend to get pricked. And, you know, when you start seeing these infomercials, hey, I can take $20 and turn it into $100,000 in one weekend. Now, you know, at that point... I think we got a bit of a bubble going on here, and I think maybe the air is going to come out of it. And now Congress, Do Nothing Congress, is actually talking about getting involved and taking a look at the whole arrangement on regulating it. So I'm not a football guy, so there's no meaning to me one way or the other, but see how it goes.
We also had on the Cormier fight, Cormier just was doing a lot of dirty boxing for the first time. I was very impressed with his pushing the head down and throwing the uppercut there. It was a really interesting tactic there in that fight.
Yeah, it was fascinating in the sense that Gus really held his own on the ground and at times maybe even had the edge on the ground. And Cormier at times had the edge on the feet. I mean, it was, again, the exact opposite of what you think would happen. You never know.
I do believe we have a Bellator event coming up.
No, I think this weekend the only thing we have on Spike is Glory. We have that Friday night, 11 o'clock, Glory's on. And Saturday, nothing. Nothing until a week from this Saturday, then we'll have the big one. I guess you guys talked a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah, October 17th is the next big event. That's Fitz versus Okami, World Series of Fighting 24. What is October 17th? Is that after the
show?
Yeah,
that would be Friday, and then Triple G is Saturday, the 18th.
Okay.
All right, Tony, what round do you think Triple G will end it in, or do you think Triple G will end it?
Well, I definitely think the fight will not see 12 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. I think it's going to be slugfest for as long as it goes, but it's going to be Lemieux's chin that is his biggest downfall. I was telling Rich, before we had you on the air tonight, hopefully if I have some time next week, this week has been crazy for me, especially because we're doing a big thing at work, and then I got a fundraiser I'm helping work on. I'd like to see if I can maybe write a preview on this, because when you write it and it's in print, you're accountable. I can say as much as I want on the air, but if people don't download the show or people don't listen to the show, I can pretty much say, no, I never said that. No, not at all. And then people have to find the show and listen to it to hear what I said. But when you write it,
it's in print. You own it.
And I was saying to Rich, I wrote a preview on a fight back in 2007, I think it was, Miguel Cotto and Zab Judah. And a couple of years later, and I'm talking about a couple of years like 2011, maybe 2012, almost like 4 or 5 years after the fight, somebody sent an email to us that read the preview and said, it seems like the guy went into the future, watched the fight, and then wrote the preview.
Yeah.
And that was a big compliment. And I said, before I pat myself on the back, I am also the guy that said Oscar De La Hoya would destroy Manny Pacquiao. So I don't want to pat myself on the back too much. But when you write a preview like that, you're held accountable because it's in written words. There's no interpretation.
Right.
It's in black and white.
Right.
So I'd love to be able to see if I can do that next week. But to give you a preview, I'm thinking it's going to be a barn burner early, Lemieux tasting the canvas, maybe in the second round, getting up and firing back. But the problem is that chin will be his downfall. The fight ends within five.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling. But I'll tell you what, just from seeing that preview that I sent you guys, Lemieux has picked up a fan with me. I love his attitude. I just love that approach. I mean, hey, you're at your best. Let's go for it. And that's old school.
Yeah,
there's no excuses. And he's a stand-up guy. I get the feeling there won't be any excuses if he does come up short. And the only thing I was let down in that preview, they didn't show the horse milk. You know, I'm still obsessed with this horse milk. I don't know if he gets it up there, if he has to have it imported. I don't know how that works, but
what about horse milk?
Well, you remember? Yeah. You remember? He said that as he was growing up in Kazakhstan, that one of his secrets for his stamina and strength was horse milk. And I never heard of anyone drinking horse milk before, so I went down to my local store and says, do you have horse milk? And the clerk's looking at me like, where are your straitjackets, you loon? You know, so I Googled it, and I guess it's pretty expensive. It can be imported, but it's kind of hard to do. That was an old joke. We talked about it before. Yeah, he said that was the stuff, horse milk. I just never heard of anyone milking a horse. It just sounded, I don't know, strange.
Well, you just get a bunch of...
And I'll tell you, I seen another interview where someone asked him, are you a little afraid of this? And he said, oh, maybe 1%, maybe a little bit. He said, I am a man, I am human. But he says, not very much. So I just love his attitude, too. This is another one of those contests that you hate to see any guy lose. But I'm expecting a war, so let's hope we have a classic that we can talk about for a long time. I doubt if we'll get a war daddy, but we can hope.
Yeah, you might not get a war daddy, but you can always get a Hagner Hearns. A fight that
there you go.
A slugfest and goes of 3 rounds.
Oh, I'll take it.
You know what else I would take? I would take a fight like Alvarez and Kirkland that we just had back in May.
Right, exactly. Exactly. When both guys come and just let it go, just hold nothing back. Let's do it. That's just old school stuff.
I mean that fight right now, I still think, you know, is on the short list for fight of the year. But this is a fight that, you know, could very well challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Rich, I want to see if you can pull some strings for me.
Okay.
Because I know you got influence. They posted something on Facebook the other day where they're getting the Hall of Fame ballots out to a number of whoever votes on them. But they said a lot of them are going out to boxing writers for voting on them. I said, well, where the hell's mine? I think I should be, you know, someone that should be voting for the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think I pissed off the Boxing Writers Association already.
Oh, really? What'd you do now?
I tried to get in, and they freaking rejected me, so I was not too happy with that.
Why did they reject you?
Because I don't have enough, magazine articles and stuff. I didn't have enough dramatic writing and all this other stuff. I didn't have enough books. They wanted books for their writers, I guess.
Oh, books? Oh, Jesus Christ, you know?
It just have just a regular few articles out there.
I think we should still be getting about all three of us.
Yes, we should. I'll find out about that, though. Now, this is the all-time Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastota, right?
Canastota, New York. Their ballots just came out. And because they were saying some of the fighters that got added onto the ballot this year, and I was looking at it, and I said, you know, bullshit, I think I should have a vote on this. I've watched enough of the sport, and I've followed enough of the sport, and I've covered enough of the sport. And I've been in there. I mean, shit, I take more punches than, you know, 70% of the writers out there, maybe more than that.
Yeah, you've taken 110% more punches than Raphael, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
And you eat half as much as he does. No.
Right.
Box back here. I don't know. My computer is just filing up, going very slow. I mean, nothing wants to load for me tonight. But I am looking here just at first glance. We've got a couple interesting fights. Kali Meehan versus Joseph Parker on October 15th. I think Lee Selby versus Francisco Montiel. M. Juarez versus Vitor Borda. I don't know who those are. And then T. Flanagan versus E. Magdaleno. And the other big fights are next week. Like we said, Golovkin versus Lemieux, that whole card. Five-star fight. That's what they call that one. Also on the 24th, a big one coming up is Kell Brook versus Diego Chavez. That's a big one. Then we got the 7th of November, Jürgen Braumer versus Thomas Ustigian, and Timothy Bradley Jr. versus Brandon Rios, both on the same night.
That'd be a good fight.
Definitely. And when is Cotto versus Alvarez?
No, it's in November. I'm not sure the actual date.
Well, we'll let everybody else look that up. Unfortunately, I can't get anything to load on that. And kind of on a time crunch tonight anyway, so we got to pretty much wrap it up unless you guys have anything else. Running?
Shit, now I'm out of the walls.
Well, can't think of much, so...
I got to
send you guys an email if you guys want to get a good laugh. I just got my tickets for tonight. I'm going to a fundraiser in a few weeks. And I just got my suit jacket. I got a sequined gold tuxedo jacket.
Nice.
Style it, buddy. Style it.
So you're going?
Yes, I try.
So you're going as Elvis? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not going as Elvis. It's just I was always looking for a silver sequin jacket, but because when I go out on New Year's, I have a silver sequin Liker Seuss hat that says Happy New Year, and I have a silver sequin bow tie, but they both got them really cheap. I said, I need like a vest or something to go with this, so I was looking online, and I found this silver sequin tuxedo jacket. I'm like, dude, that'd be bang, and I'd totally wear that to this event. But then I was looking at it, it was coming directly from, Asia, because I was trying to get the measurements, so like, in Asia measurements, and I'm like, okay. And then I saw some of the reviews, and they're like, this stuff's like plastic. And I'm looking, where do you get like a jacket that's like $30 like that? And I'm like, all right, I don't want that. But I went to another website, and I found a place that was like a warehouse that had jackets with like one or two defects in them, and they were selling them at like a third of the price. So they had sequin ones. They had gold, black, red, and blue. Didn't have my silver. So I went with the gold. So for this event, I got my black dress pants, black shoes. I'm gonna wear like a white tuxedo shirt, a black sequin bow tie, and a gold sequin jacket.
There you go.
Yeah.
Big tip.
Even is gonna be the best looking one there.
Are you gonna bring all your whores with your pimp outfit?
I very well might. I'm working on that right now.
And a cane. You gotta have a cane.
I definitely got to get like a fedora, a top hat, and definitely a cane.
Okay, we got to see this. We got to see this. Remember, you're committed to sending.
Oh, you know you will.
I'll send
pictures. Oh, definitely. Well, I'll send you the one that I have of me just wearing the jacket when it came a couple days ago.
And I want to say thanks everybody for the birthday wishes. I was so freaking busy this week. I didn't even get a chance to go on Facebook and thank everybody from there. I did read every one of them, though. I just read them from my email instead of actually on.
So, Rich, this is the big 3-8 now, huh?
The big 3-8, yes. I don't feel any old.
Now this is next year's got to be the year. Okay, how's your weight coming? It's got to be the year, Rich. Next year, buddy.
Yes, definitely. I have not heard back about the end of January card, but I do plan to. At least try to find something by the end of this year if I don't get it by the end of this year. So.
Okay. Well, I think Real MMA has started up again because the webpage was down for the longest time, so I didn't know if it was still going, but we'll have to check in with my old Las Vegas contact. Get you on one of those cards.
I need to go to Vegas to make my debut.
Hey, and then you can celebrate afterwards. So you can celebrate your victory afterwards. What a better child. I remember when Forrest got to the UFC. Yeah, and he'd won his first UFC fight, and so we got together that night with we had about eight of our guys from the gym from Cleveland go out, and that's when I was living out there. So, yeah, we tore up the town. It's a good way to do it.
So I can, fight for an amateur belt in my first fight? Because you can hook me up, Tom? You know the owner?
Okay, well, I don't see why not. You know, and it was kind of funny because me and Marcus, the trainer of Jessica and Stipe, my original trainer, it's about 4 or 5 in the morning Las Vegas time, and we're still in one of the casinos having trouble figuring out what time it is. But then we figured, well, it's 8 o'clock back in Ohio, so he's getting on the phone to Mark Coleman and a couple other guys trying to wake him up to do their road work. But we'd been spending considerable amount of time at the bar, and he got lucky with video poker. So we got ornery. Ah, good stuff. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, yeah. I guess we'll do it next week. We'll have a lot more to talk about, huh?
Yes, we will. And I'll just send you that email.
I'll get somebody, a guest, probably another MMA fighter, but we'll see if anything comes across the email with some boxing stuff. We might get somebody from there, too.
We love them all, no matter what. All right, guys, over and out.
All right, good night.
Thank you. Adios. Thanks for stopping by. That's all she wrote.